Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood, tips and tricks,
products we love,
and brands that we can't live without. Let's get into it.
So, how is it going, your end? Because from your WhatsApp messages, yeah, there is a lot of pooing and weeing going on in your house.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to start a podcast with poo chat, but I'm going for it. We are potty training kit, and it's something that I haven't really spoken loads about actually on our Instagram, but I think second time round you're just a bit like, oh yeah, whatever. But he's doing really well. He'll be 3 in April, and I very much let him lead this one. Remember the first time with Luna, I was like, do you need to wee? And eventually she just stopped weeing because she was like so freaked out. She was like, just leave me alone. I think I caused her a few issues. So this time around I just didn't mention it at all. And he started coming to me saying, you know, need a wee, mummy. Or, you know, I'd see him in the corner and be like, do you need a wee? Just like little signs were there. So it's really good. He won't sit down to do a wee. Such a lad. So basically, yeah, I've had to get him like a little frog urinal. He calls it frog pot, but basically he only stands up to wee and he's obsessed with pulling his dink. So like he'll pull it around the place and like it's squirting up the wall. I mean, it's just, it's a very messy scene this end. Thank God we're in a rented house. That's all I can say. but the pooing is slightly challenging because he's not in nappies anymore. I've completely got rid of them apart from at nighttime, obviously, but the pooing, I can't seem to make any dent in because I can see him. He like hides behind the curtains or like runs under the table and I can hear him going, and I'm like, are you doing a poo? And he's like, no.
Aww.
And then he does poos in his pants every day. So like, help me. Help me.
Yeah, do you know what? It's weird because I can't. I think Axel started with the poo. And then went to the wee's. And then it's only recently that he started standing up for a wee, if that makes sense. Like, he used to sit down. So I don't know what you do in that instance.
Oh, my God. Every
if anyone
child
knows, please let us know.
Every child is so different, right?
Oh, I know. Don't. It's yeah, I mean, with Gigi, like, I've got no idea. She talks about weeing and pooing all the time.
Who doesn't?
I'm like, all right, well, that's great for you, but I will not be doing any of that.
Well, how old is she? So, when's she two?
She's 18 months. Yeah, so she's two in June. But yeah, she talks about it a lot. She says, oh, wee wee. And then she tells me when she's done a poo poo, which I think first time round, I probably would have been like, oh my God, that's a sign. She needs, you know, I need to potty train. But actually, she's starting nursery next week, and yeah, I'll probably wait for them to tell me.
Yeah, exactly. I'll tell you who will know, Chris and Rose from Expect the Best.
Yes, they will. That is a good idea. They'll be able to get Kit pooing on the potty.
In the interim, though, I'm so over the moon that we've just got a brand new washing machine because it is taking some serious damage at the moment. That's all I can say. How's your week been? Everything else all right?
Yeah, we're all fine. Like, it's, do you know what? It's really strange. Like, I know when Luna started preschool, you couldn't go in, could you?
No.
And I think you don't realise how weird that is because you don't get to know, like, the staff as well. And just, I don't know, things like that. But actually, I do wonder if it makes them settle quicker.
Yes.
Because they never knew you to be there. Like you've never been in that environment with them. So they're just, that's how they see it. They just go there on that, you know, they're on their own with these, yeah. you know, the teachers and the kids. So yeah, it's weird. But you know, like I said on Instagram, Gigi was being a complete idiot on her first
day. You called
her
a dick.
She started a dick. She was being a dick. She really was being a dick as well. And that morning I'd really like felt bad, like, oh my god, she's going to be going to nursery, it's such a long day, and you know, me and Axel were just at home and I feel really bad. And then she was a dick and I thought, no. don't feel bad anymore, off you go. And they're like, oh, she's so sweet. And I'm like, really? Is she? Like, she's not like that at home. So.
But they do that. They're really good for certain people that are looking after them. And then when it comes to, you know, their own parents, they're just not. Not
the same. No, but I'm excited. I'm really excited for her. I think it's brilliant. She's going to make some friends her own age and socialise and do all those things that we all want to do.
Yes.
Gigi's
having more of a social life than we are.
She is, yeah. I mean, she's basically going to a party every day.
Can I just ask a question? Did you let her eat that Play-Doh?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
She actually eating it and swallowing it?
It came out in her poo, yeah. She did swallow it.
Oh my God.
With her, she's so savage that I just get to a point when I'm like, you know what? All right then. I Googled it. I was like, is Play-Doh toxic? And they're like, no. So I'm like, okay, fine. On you go. That's fine.
She's really enjoying it, actually, from that video.
Whatever makes you happy, Gigi, just get crack on.
For those of you that didn't see it, Gigi was actually eating like lumps of blue Play-Doh and it was all around her mouth, and Georgia just let her eat it, which I think is just the best parenting I've ever seen. Well done.
It's called lockdown over it parenting.
It's Gigi's lockdown parenting diet. Gigi's lockdown diet. Now, we're talking about confidence today, and we put the box out on our Instagram. We've had loads of questions in from you guys, so thank you so much. And this is all about how you guys are feeling, you know, what's going on in your world, you know, how you feel about your bodies, how to feel like the normal you again post having babies. So yeah, it's a subject that you and I talk about a lot, isn't it? Even the other day when we were doing an order from H&M, we're going to do some more fashion bits next week, you were like, oh, you know, I ordered a medium and in my head I still feel that I'm a medium, but actually I'm probably a small now. And isn't it interesting the way our mind works?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is really strange. Like, confidence can come at you in different, like completely different ways. You could be really body confident, but not confident at work. You can be really confident socially, confident speaking in front of people, but then in other situations you feel like you have no confidence. It's a really funny thing, and I think it's something I hope that you get more confident as you grow up, but I also think you maybe become less confident in other areas.
Yes.
So yeah, it's an interesting one. Shall we start?
Yeah, let's get into it. This is a good one for you, G. What makes you feel you? I love that question.
What makes me feel, okay, what makes you feel you? At the moment, like, it's difficult because the things that I used to rely on to make me feel like me again, like going out with my friends for a drink or getting dressed up, that kind of stuff, we can't do. For now, making me feel like me again is getting out for a run and getting some headspace, or cooking. Like, I love cooking. I really, really love cooking. I angrily chop. Hoovering and chopping is what I do when I'm angry. So I love chopping, and I like being creative and just kind of bunging things together and seeing what happens. That does make me feel like me again now. For me, it's about space, I think. That's what makes me feel like me, is having a little bit of space.
Love that.
Yeah, how about you, though?
Yes, the same, actually, just without the cooking.
I was going to say, what? What are you not telling us?
I produced the most unbelievable spicy coconut milk broth vegan last night. I should have posted it. When I produce these things, I think, oh, people will think that I haven't cooked it if I post about it. So I just think, oh, I'm never going to do it. But my cooking is getting better, and actually, I really enjoyed it. But for me, yeah, like you, Georgia, it's about getting space. It's about shutting the door to the bathroom, or going out for a run, or doing a HIIT class, or just going for a walk with my sunglasses on and just getting away from everyone else. That I really reset myself and recenter myself when that's going on. It makes me feel good.
Yeah, agreed. This is a good one. Imposter syndrome. Feel like this will be heightened after mat leave.
Yeah, that's interesting. Imposter syndrome. What, as in she doesn't feel like she should be at work?
Well, she should be there. Like, I think a lot of people, you know, no matter how successful they are, sometimes they'll turn around and be in a room full of people, for instance, and they'll think, well, what am I doing here? Mm-hmm. Like, all you people, you know, do not deserve to be here. But yeah, you guys all deserve to be here. But what, you know, what am I doing here? Yeah. I don't understand. Mm-hmm. I think that's a difficult feeling that loads of us get, though. Like, I'm sure, Zoe, you've probably had loads of moments where you've been like, wow, how have I got here?
Do you know what? I used to get it all the time, and it sounds a bit wanky, but I used to get it every single time I went to a red carpet event, like a premiere or something big, like the National TV Awards or the Brit Awards or whatever. And I was on that red carpet facing that bank of photographers. One of the most intimidating things that you can do as a human. And, you know, everybody's got their eyes on you, and you're like, in your head, I remember just thinking like, oh God, I shouldn't be here. Like, no one's going to want to take my picture. And then what if I look awful in the pictures? And what have I done in the last 12 months? Oh, I've just had a baby, you know, all this stuff. And it was just like, it you could see it in my face, because I was so nervous. It would cripple me. Yeah. I would try and smile, and I would do this sort of weird slanty face expression, or like look terrified, which I absolutely was. So I can, I remember one day, one of my friends saying to me, like, you are there because of what you've achieved at work. Like, you are there. Look at your career you've had for the last 15 years. Like, you go onto that red carpet and you walk onto there with pride because you've achieved loads. But the little girl in me still like, oh, you know, I shouldn't be here. And there's more, you know, well-known people here. And it's a ridiculous thing to even talk about. And I actually have never shared that before, but that goes through my head, you know, constantly, because you're constantly comparing yourself, especially in the industry that I'm in, with your peers. Mm-hmm. You know, there's somebody more famous than you that's getting more headlines. And that isn't even my driver. I just want to do well at work. You know, you're constantly punted against each other to feel like you're in competition. And I just want to make amazing shows and, you know, record amazing conversations and, you know, be a great mum. But it's all the other stuff that comes with it that starts to fill your head with the fears. So I can really relate to imposter syndrome.
Yeah. No, do you know what, as well, like, doing this podcast, like, we didn't even have like a huge plan to do this, did we? So like, we just kind of had a chat about it and then ended up doing it quite quickly.
Yep.
And then we're, you know, we get to talk to some incredible people on here, and sometimes I think, hang on a minute, like, what, I was in beauty marketing like 2 years ago, how am I now chatting to like Robbie Williams' wife? Like, what, how has this happened? And sometimes you think you don't deserve to be there, but actually rarely people get anywhere in life that don't deserve to be where they are. And I think you kind of have to remember that, like, at work, okay, you've been off because you've been on mat leave, like, you know, you absolutely deserve to have time off to have a baby, like, of course you do. And you were, you know, you had that job and you deserve to have that job before you had your baby. So you definitely deserve it when you come back. Yeah. And also, I think, gosh, look what you've achieved in that year when you've had a baby as well. Like, I think a lot of people grow in confidence in other areas after they've had a baby. I know I definitely don't care as much about lots of things since having kids. I'm a lot more confident in my decisions and a little bit more just like, do you know what, fuck it, like, I'm gonna do it because what, you know, why not? So I think, yeah, you need to think about what you've achieved as well. Having children is a huge achievement.
Yeah, Georgia's kind of said it all there. And I think I will just kind of finish on the fact that I think the first 6 months to a year, you're constantly chasing your sort of tail between your legs and trying to please everybody and be the yes man. And, you know, I'm here and I'm, you know, showing everybody that you haven't taken your sort of finger off the pulse because you're a mum, and all this stuff that we, these internal dialogues that we have with ourselves. You are still the same person, but that person is even bigger, better, more brilliant, because you've been through the biggest life-changing moment, and, you know, that only makes you more powerful.
Yeah, agree, totally.
Okay, best advice for body confidence, Georgia.
Yeah, this is a weird difficult. Well, this is a weird one, right? Because I bet a load of you do this. You look back at photos of yourself and you look and you think, oh my God, I looked amazing then. But at the time, I felt so bad. Like I did, I felt like I was, you know, I didn't like the look of my body. And you think, what was that girl, you know, what was that girl thinking? And I think body confidence has a little part in how you actually look, because if you look in the mirror and you like what you see, then yeah, okay, you're going to feel confident. And that might come from some weight loss, that might come from toning up, whatever it is your trigger. But ultimately, being body confident is being happy. I find that really hard, because some days I feel confident and I feel happy in my body, and then 2 days later I might not again, and my body hasn't changed in those 2 days. It's just my mind that's changed. And I think it's just about having that acceptance that, you know, this is your body and it does some amazing things, but also letting yourself have a couple, you know, the odd day where you don't feel confident. I think that's all right as well. I don't have tips for feeling body confident, because I think it comes from your head.
Yeah, I think if you want to look at somebody who's really doing loads for body confidence, follow Ashley James on Instagram. I know her personally, and I've never been more proud of her as a person. She had her baby, Alfie, and she is really normalizing the postpartum body. It's fantastic to see it out there. You know, personally speaking, I've never been... I wasn't okay with showing that side of my body, because I've always had really mixed feelings about my body. You know, there've been moments where it's externally looked incredible, but inside it was screaming and very unhappy. So there's been a weird relationship that I've had with my body throughout my whole life, actually. It's only really now that I feel great. And that's not because of the way that I look. Like Georgia said, it's complete acceptance, who I am, what I stand for, my morals, my values, the mother that I am, the wife that I am, the friend that I am, and hopefully I'm a nice person, and that all makes me feel good about me. And so it doesn't, like Georgia said, it doesn't actually matter how you look. It's more about how you feel and learning to love, yeah. Really loving the skin that you're in. And if you're not happy with, you know, I don't like getting on the scales. In fact, I never do it. But if you're not happy, if you put on a pair of jeans and they're too tight and you want to do something about it, we should celebrate that too.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. I think there's a lot of pressure on us to, you know, not celebrate wanting to lose weight.
Yes.
But actually, sometimes that does make you feel better.
Yeah.
And, you know, it does. Like, you can't get away from that fact. Like if my jeans don't fit in the morning, I feel rubbish,
yeah.
Right? And if I eat a bit healthier and I go and run and I exercise, I feel better.
Yeah.
Like that's just the way it is. It's not, you know, not for everyone, but for me, you know, it does feel a bit like that sometimes. So
it's a really interesting world that we're living in as well, where we are absolutely okay with, and we should be okay with, celebrating the human form, whatever that looks like. Okay, let's just take aesthetics. So, you know, we see a range of bodies on Instagram, on our social media now, in our magazines, and we have plus size models, which is incredible, and curvy models, and, you know, all different shapes and sizes, and it's all really wonderful. But really, we should be able to celebrate our body in whatever, like, you know, you should be able to celebrate it in whatever form it comes and feel that that is absolutely okay, because like we're going back to, it's all about that mindset. Some people are absolutely okay with being a size 16 and love it, and that's the way they choose to be, and brilliant, hats off to you. Some people want to be a size 8, and we should also be okay with looking at images of women who are a size 8 and not be judging them and saying, oh, you know, I bet the weight
they
falls off
eat.
Them and they don't eat and they don't train or anything like that. It's like some people train really hard to look a certain way, and that's fine too. We need to be okay with all shapes and sizes, and that includes women who are on the slighter side as well.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you, Zoe. And also, you know, it's about being healthy.
Yeah.
Like, that's ultimately what it is. And, you know, you can be, you know, really, really skinny and healthy, and you eat loads, or, you know, you eat enough and you train and you do all that. You could be really, really big and healthy. Like, it just, it's what you're putting into your body, and whether you're exercising, and where your mind is at.
You can also be really, really slim and eat McDonald's. and yes, terribly yes. unhealthy. You know,
exactly.
Like you said, it's all about, you know, what you're putting into yeah. your body, how you feel inside your mind.
So we'll be back right after this.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome back. Now, where were we?
How can I be more confident as a mum? I feel judged by others sometimes.
Oh, Emma.
Yeah.
We don't like judgment on me by mummers.
No, we don't. So whoever's judging you can actually F off.
Yeah.
I think it's natural to feel like that, though. And even when people aren't judging you, you can feel like they are. Mm.
Very natural. Yeah, like Georgia said, it's very natural to feel that you've got eyes on you. But again, I think that comes from you. So if you've got insecurities in any way around being a mum and, you know, feeling like you might be feeling like a failure or that you're not achieving things that you want to achieve, or I don't know, I can't sort of get inside your head, but normally the feelings that people are judging them is projection. So it's almost like we're judging ourselves. You know, I remember going through it a lot with Luna when she was little, and there was lots of stuff from my childhood that I could feel drifting into the way that I was dealing with Luna and, you know, the comments that I was making to other people about her. And just, I won't go into it, but, you know, that was learnt behaviour. I knew that I was projecting. So I think, you know, look at what areas you feel you're being judged in, you know, and also have a think about what you're actually doing as a mum. Like, you've had a baby, you're doing the best you can, you are enough, yeah. completely enough, more than enough, and you need to start believing that. There's little tips and tricks that you can do, like doing your mantras in the mornings, making sure that you go back and listen to our Caroline Britton episode about, you know, putting a protective bubble around yourself and making sure that you've boosted yourself up so that you can face the day. And also, mm-hmm. if anybody's judging you, just turn around to them and say, excuse me, this is my child and I'm doing the best for that child. So please back off.
Yeah, it says more about them as well than it does yes. about you.
I have terrible confidence issues, both work and socially. Any tips for speaking up?
This is tricky. I think a lot of people are like this, actually. Mm. They find it hard in certain situations to speak up. I've been through it myself, more so at work than socially.
I mean, I think that when we become a mum, even the language that is used around becoming mum, you know, you go to, you know, pre-COVID, you would go to an appointment. Are you mum? No, I'm Zoe. My name is Zoe Hardman. I have a name.
Zoe.
Not that hard. You know, I'm a mum, but I'm not just mum, you know. And I think even that sort of like language around it can make you feel like you vanished.
Yeah.
So much to another human. Every waking hour, every sleeping hour, they're sapping the life out of you. And yes, you're growing in abundance in love, but your confidence and the sort of building blocks, I always think, inside, they're slowly being taken away one by one. And at the end, you know, when you come out of the baby bubble, or if you decide to go back into work, you feel you've got no voice because you've spent the last year on mat leave, you know, listening to Peppa Pig and going goo goo ga 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 ga. And it's like, actually, you know, I don't want to say goo goo gaga anymore. I want to speak about work and things that inspire me and things that make me feel alive. But then where has that voice gone? So at that point, for me, the advice I would give to you is work on figuring out what your passions are, what you love, what sets you on fire. So setting like little goals. Spider chart. I love writing in pads, like what I'm loving this week, or things that have made me feel happy, or, you know, conversations that have inspired me, or articles that I've read, or, you know, and I try and build up those pieces back inside me that used to make me. And at that point, yeah, I feel like my jug is topped up, you know, with love again, and you know, right up to the brim, and I'm like, right, I can handle this because I'm me.
Yeah, I was just gonna, so absolutely everything you said, and I was just gonna chip in by saying, I think sometimes, you know, at work, it can feel difficult to speak up because you might have a lot of overpowering voices in the room. And something I used to do is I used to set myself little challenges. Yes. Like, and if I knew I was going into a meeting where, you know, people just speak over each other, you know, there might be someone in the room who doesn't want to hear anyone else. Like that goes on a lot. I used to set myself a little challenge. Firstly, go into the meeting so prepared, so you're so confident with, you know, what you're saying, and you know, you know everything that's going to come at you, but just set a challenge. Like, today I'm just going to get one point across, rather than trying to get 10 that you've got, just trying to get one point across. And then once you've done that, it becomes easier. And then the next time you go and you think, right, okay, I'm going to get this across and this across in this meeting. And then you go for that. And then eventually people start to notice that you are speaking up, and they almost wait for you to speak. And it just becomes easier. So yeah,
that's really good advice. Really good
little advice. Little goals. Yeah. Have no confidence trying to establish a career after being a stay-at-home mum for the past 5 years. And there's another one similar. I haven't worked for 2 years, not by choice.
Yeah.
I think, you know what? Write a list of all of the strengths that you have being a mum. Like, there's so much. I mean, look at our time management. Look what we fit into a day. Like, putting others first, working as a team, crisis management,
compassion.
There's actually so many things that we're doing on a day-to-day basis, and kind of go from there. I mean, I think if you can sort of show an employer just how much you can achieve, and you do achieve in a day, then that should give you the confidence. The skills that you've learned as a mum, you can easily transfer them into another job. Like, they are transferable skills. I'd write them all down, though, so that you can keep remembering all of the things that you achieve every day.
Yeah. And like, wow, you've stayed at home for the last 5 years and been the most incredible parent. Like, well done. Hats off. What an amazing start that you've given your kids as well. Like, don't think that that's a bad thing. That's not a negative. That is incredibly amazing. And you should be so proud of yourself for doing that. And now, like Georgia said, just think about everything that you've learned over the last 5 years and channel that into something, because you've totally got this. Like, this is not a hindrance. This every choice and decision, that if you have to go back to work straight away, that's also a wonderful thing, because, you know, you learn how to kind of be the jack of all. Like, you're just having
to juggle,
throw yourself into anything. Like, I just, this negative connotation around being mum, and, you know, oh, I've only done this and I haven't. It's like, we're raising humans. We are super women. Yeah.
It is the hardest job.
Hardest job in the world.
Seriously.
I've just read this one. I think we should touch on it. Constantly exercising and depriving myself of treat food in attempt to get my pre-baby body back. Help. That just makes me want to cry, because I really can relate to that, in obviously, you know, having had a real problem with food over the years. I can understand that relationship where you're just like, you think that if you look a certain way, you're going to be happy. Mm. It's like, oh, I've got my pre-baby body back. This goes back to what Georgia and I were saying about this acceptance that you may never look the same again. And really, yes, I get it, because I like to look a certain way, and I can understand that. I'm not ashamed to say that either. You know, I work hard at it, but fundamentally, I've been the happiest I've ever been, you know, a stone heavier than I would like to be, because I just had a baby, or two stone heavier, I just had a baby. But when I broke it down, I knew that I needed to get back to a place where I was able to stand in the mirror and love my body. Now, that was, for me, also working on the mental side of it and how, you know, the relationship that I have with my body constantly. So, you know, constantly exercising and depriving yourself of treats, you know, to get to a certain place. And when you get to that certain place, you might not even feel good anyway. Stop, exactly. Stop doing it. Yeah. Stop punishing yourself like that. You've got to be able to look in the mirror and love the skin that you are, regardless of the dress size. You've got to.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's quite difficult to come to terms with, not even just after you've had a baby, but as you get older, maybe you're just not meant to be that way, you know? Like, if you've got to go to extremes to get to a certain look or size, it's probably because your body is not meant to be like that. Some people can eat pasta and chocolate and cheeseburgers and all that kind of stuff and, you know, sustain a certain size. It's not healthy. Like, that is not healthy. No. Others can't. I think you just have to try and get to a point where you're comfortable in the body that you're in when you're fueling it in the right way.
Totally.
You know,
Georgia.
Like, yeah, like if I go crazy eating chocolate and sweets and all that, I won't be happy with the way my body looks. But equally, I'm not putting the right things into my body. So if you're eating a balanced diet and exercising, that is the way your body should look. Like, that's how your body should look when you're putting the right things in and exercising. You shouldn't be going to any kinds of extreme.
Yeah, and I know this is a sort of, you know, people who, you know, are maybe, you know, bigger than me, they might hear this and think, oh, how ridiculous. But, you know, I was a size 6 and I was keeping myself a size 6. You know, after my kids, I don't want to be a size 6 anymore. I'm not happy as a size 6. Like you said, I know what being a size 6 takes for me to get there, and I don't ever want to go back there because I want to
things,
eat half a bag of bloody, you know, mini cheddars and some mini eggs, just everything that's mini basically, and, like, you know, be healthy and everything else, but also treat myself. I think that's, Georgia, you've really hit the nail on the head there with, like, being a certain way but being as healthy as you can, whatever your body looks like, when you're putting the right fuel into it. That's what we're talking about. That's how you have to be naturally, I guess.
Yeah, because we are all different shapes and sizes.
Yeah,
so things you wish you could have told yourself to build your confidence at 21.
So many.
Oh my goodness. That is so hard. You know what? I've got one, right? And I tell my, she's not my niece, she's actually my cousin, but she's a lot younger than me. It's okay to be different. Like, I think, you know, there's so many, like, teenagers and, you know, people in their early 20s who are morphing into each other, right? Not just from putting, you know, lip fillers in and all that kind of stuff, but they wear the same clothes, they behave in a certain way, they're following these trends to, like, excess, where it's almost like you're being dictated how to live your whole life because of social media. You can see what other people are doing at all times. Mm-hmm. And I think, actually, yeah, my one piece of advice to someone would be, like, it's actually okay to be different. And that is, quite often, the things that make you different are the things that people admire the most about you. Mm-hmm. I know, like, in my, you know, friends, all of the attributes that make them different are the things that I admire the most when I look at them. And I think, yeah, that would be my one piece of advice, is that it's absolutely fine to be different.
I love that. What a lovely bit of advice. I wish I'd been mates with you at 21. You could have told me that.
I wouldn't have told you that at 21.
My advice would be, stop focusing on how you look. Stop focusing and obsessing on beauty in inverted commas, and start being beautiful on the inside. Start working on being the kindest, the most supportive, the most loving, the gentlest, you know, the most loyal person you can be, because that whole, like, you know, all the images that we see and, you know, this person's really beautiful and this person's really pretty and all this bullshit that we carry around with us, it's like, none of it matters. You're not pretty or beautiful if you've got a horrible, nasty heart. So just be the best person you could be.
Yeah, that's lovely. That's beautiful advice.
You're beautiful on the inside and the outside. You're like a Ferrero Rocher. You're absolutely scrumptious.
I'm Ferrero Rocher, nutty. So we can't really do products around building your confidence, because like we've said in this recording, it is a feeling, and I think there's so many different components that can build your confidence or knock your confidence. So we're going to talk about things that can help make you feel better and improve your mood and your overall well-being. Yeah, exactly. Do you want to kick us off, Zoe?
Yes, because we did discuss kind of going, well, actually, sometimes buying an amazing new set of underwear can make you feel good, but actually that's only momentarily.
Yes,
and then you've got to address really what's going on in your mind. So yeah, we thought we'd kick off with manifesting. Now, Georgia doesn't manifest or has done it and doesn't really get anything out of it.
No, I do. I've read books on it and I think I do it anyway, if that makes sense.
She is like, guru.
In a weird way, yeah.
So I've only just started doing it, I think in the last month, and that's off the back of following Roxy, who's obviously mate of the podcast as well.
Yes.
And I basically, every single morning, before I get up, I say, and I repeat it 5 times, you are kind, you have a good heart, and you are enough. And I've just been saying it on repeat, and I just feel a lot calmer, and I just feel like, because I've been saying it out loud, that is actually what's happening, and that is actually who I am, and I just feel better about myself. I really do, because I've been having some fairly bad days in lockdown, you know, quite big lows, and I just feel a bit more centered.
Yeah. See, actually, it's interesting you say that as manifesting, because I was thinking manifesting as in like things I want to happen. So, you know, like I see people do vision boards and that kind of stuff, and like putting something on a vision board like does nothing for me. Like everything is internal. Like, all, you know, like I've thought about all the things I want to happen, but I don't do, as you say, like those mantras as in like you are enough. I don't do that, and I probably should maybe give that a go.
So yeah, maybe a little bit of chanting and mantras.
Bit of self-love, yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
A bit of self-love.
Do you know what though? I am into reading like sort of growth self-help books. I don't like saying self-help books, but you know the kind of books that you come away and you can take something from?
Yeah.
So sometimes that's like really like, you know, not silly, but like fluffy books like the Studio McGee book on how they've built their business. But I can still take something away from it, right? But there's a book which is absolutely on my list, and it's The Life-Changing Magic of Not Giving a Fuck.
Yes.
And there's another one who our producer Charlotte has read, and it's called The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. I love that concept. Like, it's the whole don't sweat the small stuff thing.
Number three, and listen, Georgia and I talk about getting active all the time, but in terms of building and boosting your confidence and making you feel good and getting your endorphins going, getting active is the best way, in our opinion, to do that. And that, you know what, that isn't going out for a 5K run, because for some people that's torture and that is not going to be good for your mental health. It's not going to make you feel good if you don't enjoy doing it. Getting active is getting up, getting out, and like changing your mindset into that like positive, you know, I'm going to get outside in the universe, go be with nature. Nature is the best healing source. And just makes you feel wonderful. For us, it's just all about, even if it's not getting a sweat on, it's about getting your heart rate going and just
moving
what you can. Yeah, move around.
If dance. You think about, yeah, that's what I was going to say, dance.
Yeah.
If you love dancing, then yeah, just whack on some music. Or I'm sure there's like loads of like dance, you know, videos you can follow on YouTube. Actually, Sarah, who came on the podcast, she does a live dance class on a Friday.
Dance with Sarah, yeah.
Yeah, Dance with Sarah. So that, you know, something like that, exactly. This is a bit of a random one, but changing small habits can make you feel amazing. So I think it's one of those things, like if you have a goal and you smash that goal, then you do feel incredible. But this doesn't have to be like huge, huge, huge things like running marathons and stuff like that.
Or I'm giving up like, smoking.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be huge. So I've got a real issue with the amount of tea I drink, right? And I go through phases where I'm like, nope, that's it. I'm having one cup of tea a day and that's it, no more. And I'll do it for like 2 weeks and then I'm like, oh, but I miss my old friend, the cup of tea.
You're the tea whore.
I am the tea whore. It's been with me through thick and thin. Like, I celebrate with a cup of tea and I don't know, what's the opposite of celebrate?
Commiserate with a cup of tea.
Commiserate with a cup of tea, exactly. So Now, instead of doing that, I decided that every morning before I have a cup of tea, I'm going to down a big glass of water. And then every other cup of tea I drink, I'll pour myself a glass of water with that. And I have actually cut down on the amount of tea I drink, because by the time I've drunk that glass of water, I often don't want the cup of tea. But also, I'm not hard on myself about it, because it's like I'm offsetting the dehydration of the tea with the hydration of the water. So yeah, even just like teeny little things like that.
I love that you've just strung that out for about 3 minutes. The final one is, again, it's just like a little mantra, like treating your mind like you would treat your best friend. And I think that goes for the people around you as well, like your partner. I'm so guilty at kind of lashing out at Dawes and snapping at him and being a bit of a bitch to him, for, you know, on occasion. I'm like, I wouldn't be an asshole like this to my friend, and I wouldn't beat myself up. I've had so many issues with body image and, you know, all that kind of stuff in the past, that I was just punishing myself. And yeah, if you can kind of get into the mindset, and actually Ashley James touched on it on the podcast on Tuesday, where she was like, if you can treat your post-pregnancy belly the same that you would treat your pregnancy belly, and just show it some love, it's the same for our minds, it's the same for ourselves, you know. Treat ourselves with love and you will feel loved, because you are enough, you know.
Absolutely. And if you do have those thoughts like creeping into your head, which you will because it's natural, just remember, like, would I say that to my best friend? No, I wouldn't. Okay, so why am I saying it to myself?
And you know what, I also sign up to this thing called the universe, and it sends me an email every single morning, and this one has just come in. Always Zoe. It's the one with the certain and definite dream, who boldly steps into the uncertain and indefinite, who goes the furthest and throws the best after parties. That's me!
They know you so well. I mean,
everyone's invited when we can. Okay, listen, thank you for listening to the podcast. As always, we would love you to rate, review and subscribe. And please, please, please tell all your friends about it. If you know somebody that's not listening to us that could do with a bit of a nudge, please do it for us.
Yeah, and we always welcome feedback. So please, if you have any suggestions for what you'd like to see us talking about, guests, I mean, anything really, just drop us a DM at Made by Mamas, and we'll be back on Tuesday.
See you then.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like, worry of the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.